All right, let's make him feel welcome. He's going to come and share the Lord's word with us. There's water up here in case you dry up.
This is how this works. Can you hear me? Oh, good. I was afraid you wouldn't be able to. I got a Martin voice and it booms. Thank you, Roger. Can you hear me now? We'll make a commercial out of it. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be upfront and honest. It's crazy to imagine that I'm up here right now. I look back at everybody out here, and there's so many faces that could look at me and literally tell you they remember holding me when I was a baby. Some of them may have even changed my diapers. I'm pretty sure Donna, Donna's sitting back there. She's definitely probably changed my diaper at one point in time. I'm humbled to be here. When Wayne Humble, I consider him like one of my brothers. When he reached out to me and asked if I'd speak during your revival, I was kind of shaky. I don't know. I didn't know exactly how to take it, you know, because I've only been doing, I guess you could say, preaching on a regular basis, because I'm the co-pastor at Ebenezer Bible Church, for probably about not even a full year. And just this opportunity to come and speak with you and share my heart and really share with you who Jesus is to me, who God is to me, it was kind of mind-blowing. Because if you knew me growing up, you would have never guessed that that would have been me. I was that shy little guy, not Wayne Martin in any way, shape, or form. I was cute, so I definitely wasn't him. I got the bald head and beard now, though, don't I? And it's just, it blows my mind. So it's an honor to be here this morning. I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony, just to kind of give you an idea of where I came from, my personality. I will let you know I have a little bit of ADD. So buckle up, because I may jump on different trails and switch lanes. And sometimes I'll be in the left lane and I'll be driving way too slow. You know, you never know. But a little bit of my story is I grew up in a Christian home. I was that, I guess you could say, stereotypical Christian child, right? You know, I was to church on Sunday. I was to church on Wednesday. Sometimes it feels like I was at church on every other Saturday, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever it was, I was there. Because mom and dad, whether I admitted it or not, I was drug along. And it was pretty easy because I was a small little guy. So I grew up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school. I even made some notes because there are some different details that really don't matter. But anyways. Went to a Christian school. I graduated from a Christian college. I did everything that maybe a Christian parent would want their son to do, right? Minus getting good grades in school. That wasn't my thing. I took after my dad and another thing there. I probably would have been in those same classes with him because I was more about sports. We won't get into the sports realm. College is really when my story began, though. You know, all growing up, and maybe some of you have experienced this, growing up, you're kind of in a, I don't want to say a bubble because they didn't shelter me, but you really follow along with where your parents are going, right? You follow them. They are your guides. I'm going to walk around. I walk too. I can't stand still. You know, they were my guides. I went where they went. I did what they did. I listened most of the time. I heard most of the time. I didn't actually act upon what they asked me all the time. But everything up until college was put into me because of my parents. you know, I went to another youth group because I felt like I wanted to really, ultimately, I wanted to be with my friends. You know, I went to a youth group where a lot of my school friends went to. And I did all those things because I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. I got baptized at the age of 13. Little did I know at that point in time, the only reason I wanted to get baptized was because my grandmother passed away 6 months earlier and I wanted to go see her. Sometimes I think about my childhood growing up, like where was my heart really? I went to college and I just, even though it was a Christian college, some people think, oh, Christian colleges are, they're safe. They're not. I experienced different things, delved into different things, nothing too extreme, but enough to whet my appetite. Freshman, sophomore year, junior year hit. That's when I met my girlfriend. And she's the one that kind of drug me back to church. She's the one that would call me at 10:30 saying, hey, we got church at 11. Where are you at? She'd take me. She's the same girl that, oh, hey, look at that. I'm not used to these. I'm used to my voice carrying pretty good, which is okay, because I know how to use it. Look at this, I even tied a little knot in it. Anyways, back to reality. 2 years later, I met, 2 years? Year and a half? She's not here. August 18th of 2012, we got married. I believe if it wasn't for her, I would have gone in a different direction. A year and a half after that, we have our first child, who is now 5 and a half and going on 13, little girl. About a year and 3/4 ago, we had our second child, Asher. Our first one was Adelina, second Asher. Little boy. Boy, is it coming back on me. That boy is wild and takes after his uncle. And if you know my brother, that's not promising. And then about 5 months ago, we had our third and, Lord willing, will be our final, child, a little girl. Ava Grace. And they are my world now. They are my world. But over the past 2010 to now, almost 10 years, right? Yeah, almost 10 years. I started developing my own faith. My own faith in Christ that wasn't reliant upon my parents. And you can ask them any day at any time, do our paths or thoughts always go down the same path? Our faith, is our faith the same? Yes and no. Is the King that we believe in, the King that we serve, the same King that died on the cross for us the same? Yes. But I'm younger and sometimes my thoughts expand a little bit. So ultimately, we all serve the same King. The same man that came onto this earth, who died on the cross, who rose from the grave, and is the exact and only reason why today I could be up here. Why I can live my life knowing that one day, whether it's because he's returned or whether I've lived my life long enough that health takes me, or because, well, let's be real, you never know what can happen in our days. I'm only 29. My life could end tomorrow and I wouldn't know it. But because he rose again on that third day, heart saved. My life is saved. God that we all serve. I pray that we all serve. So, wrapping that up, now you know kind of who I am. Grew up Christian, still am. Play sports, have children, wonderful family. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Really don't, I'm pretty much an open book. And again, if you know my dad, you know it rubs off on me. And I apologize if I bring up my parents way too much. Well, you're just gonna have to deal with it because they're the ones that impacted me the most over my life. So I apologize. I'm not that sorry though. So I love you anyways. This morning, we actually really over the next, goodness, 4 days? 4 days, we are gonna talk a little bit about, I've been really trying to throw around how I wanna bring this across. The characters of God. I don't know about you, but for so many times in my life and the way people even in this earth, they think about God in one path, one specific personality. Those personalities sometimes are different. See, I don't know if you've ever heard people say he just seems more like a, I don't know, judge, jury, and prosecutor. He's just here to make everything harder. You know what I mean? Some people think of him more as a father. I like to think of him more as a father. But even in that, if I say God is your father, reality strikes. Some people's experience with their father isn't the same as someone else. Right? See, I love my dad. If you don't know him, he's back there. He's bald. He's bearded. I love my father. He was a great example growing up. But on the other flip of the coin, he wasn't the greatest father. He's made mistakes. He's told me about every single mistake that he's ever made. And sometimes I wish I would know them because sometimes it's just a little bit more than I want to know. But you know what? That man loves me and my brother to death. He counts us as our best friends. So for me, when I hear father, I'm like, I'm all in. That's who God is to me. But then sometimes people hear father and they're like, that man would come home and he would come over and he'd say, take my belt off because this is how you're going to get a whooping. Sometimes they're too disciplined. They're more, look, don't take this the wrong way. I'm all about discipline. But there's sometimes when it goes a little bit too far. Sometimes your father's abusive. Verbally and physically. Maybe it's to you, or maybe you saw it to your mother. So maybe in that realm, a father is not who you want to see God. And there's a couple different characteristics that we're going to take a small look at. I'm going to let you know. I am not long-winded. I can stretch it out. But I like to get to the point a little bit more, although that's not what I'm doing right now. Trust me, I realize it. Sometimes I go a little bit longer than I like to. In my head, it's like, this is pretty good. In my head, it's like 5 minutes, but it's really like an hour and a half. It doesn't matter. But this morning, I wanted to kind of focus on the one that is most important, the most basic. See, Christ, God, is our Father. He is our leader. He is our teacher. He's a servant. He's our sacrifice. But one of the greatest things is he is our king. And this morning, we're going to take a little look into why he's the king, how he differs from our perceptions of kings, and why it can encourage us that he's the king. So before I delve in, let's say a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. I thank you for bringing me here. This is an unbelievable opportunity, and I thank you for walking with me. But this morning, I ask that you walk with us. Lord, you know I have a message prepared. Lord, you know there's notes that I've taken. Lord, you know that there's things and pieces that I want to go into that I'll probably forget about. But Lord, I want you to use me. May the words that come out of my mouth, may they not be the words that I've prepared. Lord, I pray that you will take control. I pray that the words that I speak are the words that you've given. Be with each and every single one of us as we're here, Lord. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears for what you have for us this morning. Including me. Give us the humility to come to you, to love you, to listen to you. Thank you for being our king. We love you so much. We thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name, amen. So, persona number one, as you see over the next couple, tonight and the next couple days, you'll see there's about five different personas. So persona number one, he is the king. Now, I will say with this to you guys, and I'm not necessarily used to as big of a area, but I am A-okay with you being like shouting out responses, okay? Because I'm going to ask you a couple different questions, and I love response. I love talking to people, okay? So just work with me. Work with me. So, a king. When you think of a king, what do you think of? You can think of a person. Actually, let's go with people. When you think of a king, who do you think of? King David. King Herod. You could stress. Well, King Solomon. Okay. You can branch out too. I'm going to be honest with you. I love music. And when I heard the king, I was thinking the king, you know what I'm saying? Oh. Well, that's not my era. Pretty sure he died before. Well, maybe he's not dead. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, so we've got King David, King Solomon, King Herod. We've got Elvis. What else? You can branch out. It's okay. There you go. If you guys like basketball at all, I could start something, but I won't. The king nowadays apparently is LeBron James, but some people, if you like basketball long enough, you'll know that the real king is Michael Jordan. Larry Bird. The Bird Man. See, this is good. This is good. What else? Anything else? No? It's okay. Those are all great answers. Because we think of a king and we think of someone who rules on high. You know, basketball, I mean, Larry Bird was the man. See, I'm a Lakers guy too, so it's, you know, I'm also a Magic guy, Kobe guy. It's okay. Anyways, Larry Bird was awesome. Anyways, ADD, roll it back in. So what is a king? I looked it up. What is a king? A king is someone who has been selected or born into a position to rule over a nation or a kingdom. Now, in today's world, it's a kingdom could be a nation. I'll bring up this name. I don't always support what he says, and I'm not trying to start anything. Let me preview that. Man, I don't know why I'm about to say this. Trump could be classified as a quote-unquote king. He's not a king. You would like to think that he's a king. Here's why. Because he was selected into a position to rule over a nation or a kingdom. Okay? So here's a question. When you think of a king, outside of the glamour and the... I just watched Aladdin, which, if anybody likes Aladdin, it's a pretty good movie. You think of a king, you think of a castle, and servants, and all the glamour. But what are kind of the roles of a king? Final decision. As a king, as Solomon was put in this decision many times, he's the judge. Remember, he was the judge. Someone asked about the baby. Whose baby is this? Well, if y'all can't figure it out, I'm going to cut him in half and you can share him. I like the baby's going to be much use after that, which is a distorted image. I understand. Trust me. When you have a five-month-old, you hate thinking about anything happening to your child. But the dude was smart because the real mother stepped up. She wasn't going to let anything happen to that baby. And Solomon was wise enough to give that baby to the true mother. So he's the judge. Psalms 9, 7 through 8 says, got all these different tabs. You ever run into that where you just got so many different tabs and you know which way you want to go? Like listening to a GPS, recalculating. Psalms 9, 7 through 8. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. Equity. I read that word the first time and I was like, I should know it. And I think I hear equity. Equal, right? It's equal. But if you're more in the business realm, Jesus did not rule the world. He did not rule. He did not rule the world. AKA, he did not share. He wasn't talking about shares that are issued within a company. Okay, I thought that was funny. I might be the only one. He wasn't doing that. He was judging equally. He looked at it impartially. How many times do we look at our children and we do our best to rule equally, but so many times it's hard to not look at your oldest child who knows better and discipline them a little harsher than the younger child who probably just curb stomped them on the ground. My son did that to my oldest daughter the other day. Put his foot right on her face. Left her a mark, but technically she did kick him before that. So it's hard to kind of rule equally when technically they both kicked each other. He just happened to connect it to the face. It's also hard not to stand behind and be like, good shot. So he rules. He's a judge. He rules fairly. He rules over all. Psalms 47:2. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great king over all the earth. All the earth. I think that's awesome. That's another detail about kings. Is they have a certain realm that they can control, right? David ruled over the Israelites. But he couldn't go into Egypt and tell them what to do, right? The Pharaoh had that rule. The great thing about God our God, the God who loves us, the God that saved us, is he rules over all the earth. You know what's crazy? Just talking with my mom about this. These concepts are so simple, but we make it harder than it really is. When he says all of the earth, it's more than just Snyder County and Union County and PA and New York and New Jersey and California. He's talking North America, South America, Antarctica. He is the ultimate king. I think that's awesome. Because so many times we battle in basketball. In basketball, we battle who's the greatest of all times. And as generations go on, there's going to be a new king. It was the Michael Jordan. But before that, there was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Before that, it goes back to even George Mikan. So if you're into basketball, then that's, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But there was a greatest of all time every generation. This greatest of all time never changed, has stayed the same all through eternity. And I think that's awesome. So what else is a king? I got one more. He's a protector. He is the one put in charge to make decisions that will protect the nation. Revelation 17:14. And you can follow along if you'd like. I'm just, again, my ADD jumps back and forth so much. It is what it is. Revelation 17:14. Says they will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. So he's the protector of those who are in his nation, who have chosen to be in his nation. I pray that each and every one of us here is part of that nation. Because when the end comes, he will protect us. And trust me, let me be honest with you right now. I've been honest with you the whole time, so don't take that. That's a weird phrase. Let me, just for this quick moment, be honest with you, because the rest of it's been bull. This moment, there's moments in my life where I question. If there's times in your life where you're like, I still don't know, it just, it's too big and too mind-blowing to fully understand, I'm with you. I'll walk hand in hand with you, because sometimes it's crazy just to think about it all. Quite frankly, it's because we've never seen it on this earth. It's literally mind-blowing. But it's okay to question. It's okay to question. You know why? Because when you lose that quest for finding the answer, when you hit that lull, things start decreasing. Your faith starts to wane, or whatever. What we need is a faith that constantly drives to find out who he is. That's what pushes us to know him more. So he's the ultimate protector. Okay. So how does this reign differ from traditional kings when we think about goodness? Kings over in England. Kings over in Saudi Arabia, anywhere, how does his reign differ? Well, traditional kings are usually emotional and have selfish ambition. And they let them control their decisions. Whereas Jesus judges with loving grace. He rules, a traditional king rules with only personal benefits in sight, versus ruling for the benefit of all. I know sometimes it feels like we're kind of this star within the Milky Way. Ooh, candy bar. I like candy bars. Within the Milky Way, what value do we carry? It can sometimes feel irrelevant. But he's always thinking about us. He's making decisions that will benefit us. Traditional kings protect to keep their kingdoms so that they won't lose it. Versus protecting to keep those in his kingdom and those inside safe. I think it's the beautiful. I look back at that painting, and it really is the example of Christ as the shepherd. Because he would lay his life down for that lamb that went missing. He would leave the 99 to find that one. See, for me, I was part of that one. Actually, to be more specific, I was that one that was starting to straddle off, right? I didn't get fully out. I didn't fully get lost in the woods, but I was making my way towards it. But he ran after me and he got me. He grabbed my heart. And he'll never let me go. So how does this impact us? How does viewing Christ as the King impact us? Because when you hear a message, you want to kind of, how can I apply this? How can it impact me for the future? Well, first of all, it gives us respect for who God is. Right? King is one of the highest terms you could ever experience in on this earth. So it gives us respect for who he is. He is the ultimate king. It can also give us a peace to know that God will be there for all eternity and that he will provide and protect us. It goes back to the point that what he does is looking out for us, is protecting us and guiding us. And it also encourages us because we already know that the victory is won. See, I'm a sports fan. Quite honestly, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. So if you're an Eagles fan, I apologize. No, I don't. Because you got us 2 years ago. That's beside the point. See, going into sporting events, whether it was when I was playing soccer in high school, whether it was rooting for a sports team now, there was always this questioning. Are they going to win? How are they going to mess it up? How many field goals are they going to miss? How many are they going to make? Are they really going to pull it out? There's all those questions go through my mind on a regular basis when I think about sports. And again, I apologize. If you're not into sports and you think it's bogus and you think it's stupid that someone would ever play sports, that's not your thing. I understand. But that's the way I relate. With God, there is no questioning. Because the victory is already won, and he told us so. Deuteronomy 24 says, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory." So he's going to fight alongside of you. He's not just going to say, "All right, you go that way." He's just not going to give you like a map quest and be like, "All right, you go that way, do this, do that, and the other." He's going to walk right alongside of you. He's going to hold your hands. He's going to guide you along the way. That doesn't mean he's not going to let you make a mistake. I've heard so many times, why would God let anything negative happen? Well, you'll find out in a couple days whenever we talk about fatherhood or parenthood, whatever you want to call it. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I love that. You know why? Because it already says he's overcome the world. Not saying I am going to overcome the world. It's in the process. Just kind of wait. Just chill out here. And I'll overcome the world one day. It's like you're waiting for someone to arrive, and they never come right when you want them to. He has already overcome the world. And I think that's amazing. And if that doesn't make any sense, I get it, because it's still something that I'm learning about. He's still walking with me. I'm still learning. And I challenge you, if you are older than me, so if you're 30 plus, I pray that you never slow down, that you're always searching. Because there is a point where you just take it for granted who God is. I challenge you to keep on driving, to keep on fighting the battle. And as you fight, remember who you're fighting with. With. Alongside. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. And if you get nothing from what I say and you think I'm just a young buck who's got ADD way too bad, I pray that you remember this. That our God is not only going to conquer all, he already has. He will be our king from now to eternity. And if you have any questions about that, I'm here. You've got many great leaders here who you can talk with about. That's key. I want you to remember that. That's key. If you don't come any other nights of revival, I'd say okay. Quite honestly, this is probably the first revival I've been to since I don't remember the last time we had revival at our church. So I get it. Lives get busy. But if you ever have questions, search out someone here. I know there's leaders here. I know there are wise individuals who can guide you in the right direction. And I pray if that's God yanking at your heart saying, "Look, we gotta talk." Then I I pray you listen. Because there's nothing like him. There never will be. And I pray you find him. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us here. For fighting our fight. For being our king. Thank you for judging us with loving grace. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for being a God we can be proud in. A God we can trust in. A God we can rely on. God, sometimes it's hard for us to rely on you because we don't know how to fully rely on anybody. We've never experienced it on this earth. So many people on this earth have broken our hearts, and whether we are close with them, whether they're our spouses, whether they're our parents, whether they're our brothers and sisters, Lord, there have been moments where we've lost a little bit of respect. But Lord, we ask that each and every individual here will continue to rely on you. If maybe they've never relied on you before, that they will search you out. That you will be their king. I pray that you'll be with us the rest of this revival. Open our hearts to what you have for us. Give me the words to speak. You know, my words are imperfect. They've never really been that good. But I pray that you are the one that brings the messages the next several nights. Open our hearts. Show us your love. We thank you for being our very best friend. And in Jesus' name, amen.